So when Brother Steve first asked me to speak on a few words from a devotional or a scripture I read recently, I knew pretty much what I was going to speak on, but it wasn't a devotional or a scripture per se. It was more of a word. And I can remember just about when this word came to me. It came to me, summer youth service, you know how we do the thing on Saturday night. This word came to me and it prompted a question in my head. But I was just about like the only older youth there that night, and I felt kind of weird. I felt kind of lonely, and it really wasn't a good feeling. But it prompted a question in my head: if I was alone, could I make it on my own? If I was alone, could I finish the Christian walk? And eventually I came to the conclusion that yes, I could if I had to. It definitely wouldn't have been as good of an experience, or it wouldn't be as easy, but I could do it. I could do it on my own if I started from where I started. But if I had to start from the beginning of my experience, I most definitely, it would be very, very shaky, to say the least, if I could have made it or not. But I really don't think I could have made it. But I had to reach out for help from Brother Steve, Brother Mike, and there's people in the youth group that even helped me and didn't even realize that they were helping me, really, just by their friendship, just by understanding that what I've went through is not so different from the things that they go through. So at this time, you're probably wondering, like, what was that word? So that word that came to me was the opposite of the feeling that I was feeling that night. That word is together. And I believe, honestly, that each of us here is better, we're stronger in every single way if we're together. Right. So Psalms 133:1, it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." So if you're like me, you'd like to have words broke down a little bit. So I'd like to break down three words in that scripture: good, pleasant, and unity. So good here is basically like saying it's beautiful, and pleasant is like saying it's sweet. Now unity, it can be defined two different ways: being alike or to be one. So you might say, I'm not exactly like each of these. Some of the experiences that I've been through aren't alike some of these people, some of these other young people, which I've said those things myself entering into the youth group. When I first got saved, I was like, I'm never going to fit in with these guys. They haven't experienced some of the same things that I've experienced. I'm just not going to fit in with them. But I quickly found out that was a lie, because there's two things that really unite us as Christians, and that's the Spirit of God, one, and then there's also the door, Jesus. So Jesus is all our saviors. We all have to come through the same way. So that is what really unites us. You might say, "That's great, Ashton, but what does this mean to me? I can make it on my own. I'm strong enough. Me and God, we can do it. We got it." And I would say that, honestly, right there, you're missing the point. Because, yeah, you might be able to make it on your own. You might be able to make it just you and God. But Christianity is not all about us. It's not all about us. There may be somebody within the youth group that needs you. You might not need them, but you might not need them right away, but they might need you. So I would say, just to expand this outside of these four walls, outside of our church, outside of our youth group, I would venture to say, like, humanity as a whole wasn't meant to live alone. They weren't meant to live in solitude.
Right.
And this past year goes further. It provides a good case study for what I'm bringing out. So the self-isolation, the self-quarantining, that proves my point. You can hear on the radio, you can hear on the news, some of the statistics. Suicides are up. Drug use and alcohol use are up. Depression has went up. And then aside from that, you can look around the church and you can see that there are people that lost out. And I believe that partially the reason that they've lost out is because we weren't together. We feed off of each other. There's just a bond that comes from being together. This shows us, as Christians and humans, we are meant to be around each other. And there's an extreme value and being together. And I think that deep down, everybody knows that. I think that God knows it. We know it. I think, and the devil definitely knows it. Right. That's why he works so hard to put space in between each of us. He puts to drive a wedge in between us. He tries to divide by small things. I mean, he doesn't normally start out with big things because we would recognize it. We would recognize exactly what he's trying to do. But there's small things like gossip. But we have to mature past that. We have to understand that there's going to be times where somebody might say something about us and we might get offended. But we as Christians, we live in such an offended generation. Like every small thing just offends somebody. But we have to take that step further. We almost have to be unoffendable. And then there's going to be disagreements. We got to be big enough to be able to disagree and still love each other. Right. And then there's picking sides. There's people, you might not like this person just because one of your friends doesn't like this person. And then outside of the church and stuff like that, I mean, I understand. I was in high school, I was in middle school. I went through all that. You might not want to hang out with a certain person. God calls us to go to the lonely. God calls us to hang out with them, basically. You might not want to hang out with a certain person because it doesn't seem cool. But I have to say, popularity and Christian purpose doesn't always go hand in hand. It doesn't always go together. So being together and staying together is one of the biggest defenses that we have against the enemy. And I'd like to reiterate, big division doesn't really start out big. It doesn't really start out big. It starts out small. The devil uses those small tactics. If you turn to Song of Solomon 2:15, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine.
Right.
He said, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." Our spiritual fruits are tender, and our spiritual relationships are tender. They need to be fostered. They need to be cared for. They need to be built and bonded so they can be stronger. We gotta find a way to put these little foxes to rest. So one of the things that I think about too, when I think of little offenses building up and breaking up something really good, is I think of a newly married couple. So many times with a newly married couple, you think, wow, like they're so in love. They'll last forever for sure. But sometimes 10 years down the road, a divorce may happen. And then that people that once loved each other can't hardly even stand to be in the same room. So part of me wonders, like, how did we get here? Like, how in the world did they get here? They once loved each other, but now they can't even hardly stand to be in the same room. Now, I'm not talking about the big offenses. There's definitely big things that happen, but there's also little things, little cares of life that come in, and they just build on top of each other and continue to build and build and build eventually, and it turns into something big if you don't get those things taken care of. Right. In conclusion, being together, being and staying together takes effort, but I believe the benefits and the spiritual strength that we gain from it far outweigh the challenges and the differences that we have. Being together is one of the basic fundamentals of our Christian walk. It's probably not quite as important as reading and praying, but I think that definitely feeding off each other and being together is highly important, especially for a young person.
Amen. Amen.